You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
Okay, we are in Melbourne. This temple is called Radha Vallabha Temple. This deity is installed by Srila Prabhupada with Gornitai. Okay, my dear friend, welcome everybody. Today, I am very fortunate to be in Australia, in Melbourne today. And we are very fortunate, and I feel glad to meet my old friend, Prabhupada Das, who has been, I know Prabhupada Das for many, many years. And we did a lot of service together in Calcutta from maybe 80 onwards. But let me introduce him. He is born in Shantipur, which is near Mayapur. Is only about 25-30 kilometers from Shantipur. He's born in March in 1962. He studied in Vrindavan and Mayapur Gurukul and joined in 1973 at the age of 6. So, Prabhu, we are very, very glad to have you with us today. And before we start, I just want to ask you, what was your life before you become a devotee? Before, of course, it was very, Before you join, of course, at the age of six. Okay, thanks. Well, at the age of six, you joined the Gurukul. So tell us a little bit, your family, your mother, your brother, your sister, how you happened to join Hare Krishna, of course, but what was your life? In Shantipur, it's a small village, beautiful village, not so many people. How many inhabitants at that time? Maybe 500. Yeah.
Well, it was more than 500.
At that time?
Yeah. But Shantipur is a very famous place, we all know. And before I joined ISKCON, actually, I came to Mayapur with my mother.
Oh, okay.
Because Mayapur is very famous for Gaur Purnima.
Yes.
And today is Gaur Purnima.
Today is Gaur Purnima. Wow.
So we used to go, we knew about Gaur Purnima. Mm. So, and that was 1972,
mm-hmm.
71. And even though it's a small place in Bengal, Mayapur is very famous because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaur Purnima.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, birthplace is there. Janmasthan is there.
So, and that place in Bengal, where I was born, Shantipur, is a very special place because it's not only a spiritual place, a holy place, but also is the Ganges running through. And
yes, and Advaitacharya's house.
Advaitacharya's house. Plus that place is, those days in the 70s, it was more village-like.
Yes.
Not like now.
All mud houses.
Yeah, mud houses.
Thatch roofs. A
lot of forest.
Yeah, no.
Trees. Very, very beautiful, actually. Scenery, even, materially. And I grew up there, and I didn't go to school.
Right.
So I was only young.
You are 6 years old.
Yeah. So my schooling is in ISKCON.
Right.
Yeah. So that's.
But let's tell everybody that number one, Advaitacharya, is the one who prayed to the Lord to appear to save the people of Kali Yuga. He offered Ganges water to his Salagram Shila, doing puja every day, and Tulasi leaf. And he used to pray to the Lord, please come and do something because people are going to hell. You know, as the Kali Yuga progressed, he could see that the people are becoming degraded. So by his prayers, he called Lord Chaitanya, he called the Lord to appear. Of course, he didn't know Lord Chaitanya, he called Krishna or Vishnu to appear, Narayan or whatever, but then the Lord came. At one time, I remember, many, many years later, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, go and call Advaita. He is the one who called me to come here.
Oh, wow.
Remember? And he said, because of him I have come. And now he start to preach some Mayavadi philosophy, some pastimes.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, that's Advaitacharya's place because, and I think anyone who is actually born in that place, you know, they're also special because they're connected somehow. This connected to have, and for me to come to ISKCON, and it's the mercy of Prabhupada plus a mercy of the Western devotees.
Yes,
because everything that I learned from ISKCON, from Western devotees. So I always give credit to Prabhupada's disciple those days when Prabhupada was in the 70s. So it's, even though I was born in the Santipur, but I think I give credit to Prabhupada.
Of course.
He is the one who really educated me in spiritual life. So everything that I learned about spiritual life, not because I was born in Santipur, that's only one thing, but all the thing I learned from ISKCON, from Western devotees. So I always admire the Western devotees for giving me this Krishna consciousness, for what I learned and what I have today, where I stand today because of that.
Yes.
For my childhood.
So you were initiated in Mayapur or in Vrindavan?
Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. So tell us the story how you got initiated, because this, I know it's a funny but at the same time very entertaining story, because you were helping in the kitchen at the time. How it happened? So when you got initiated, because you were small, how old you were?
Actually, I had always, the day I joined, from the very next day I was chanting 16 rounds.
Wonderful.
So they had a program for Gurukul boys. I was the first one, five boys. Those days, now they have hundreds.
Yeah.
So we sit in front of Radha Madhava, and I would look at the deity and chant 16 rounds. So I finish, not looking anywhere else, just looking straight at the deity. So I always had that
enthusiasm.
Yes, the chanting. So maybe, so one day, Jayapataka Maharaj, I joined at the age of six in 1973, and this was 75. 3 years later, Jayapataka Maharaj, he said, would you like to get initiated? So I said, yeah, I was very happy. So I went to Vrindavan. So that's where I got initiated in Vrindavan. Vrindavan was, that's the day when Krishna Balaram Mandir was just opened.
Oh,
the same day,
73.
Ram Navami.
Ram Navami.
In April. Yes. And that's a very special day because Srila Prabhupada not only opened the temple, more than 100 devotees got initiated.
Mm.
Plus, he went for a morning walk and then came back and he had a group photo in front of the temple. That photo appeared in the Bhakti Garden magazine.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, the devotees, Mataji is on the roof.
Okay.
And then there's a devotee standing in front of the temple, proper in the middle. I was actually sitting there.
Wow.
So that, and that's the day I got initiated.
Okay.
So the initiation was very interesting because when they called my name, I told the story before to the devotees here in Melbourne. When they called my name, when I got up, everybody just stopped. They said, how can this... He's a small, young kid, get initiated. Age of nine.
Yeah.
So when I walked up, even Prabhupada, he was looking, where is Jayapataka? And somehow nobody was around.
Yes.
Because I feel Krishna put them away.
Yeah.
And then momentarily, Prabhupada closed his eyes. Yeah. And then he opened his eyes. He said, never mind.
And so cool. Those. So cool.
Yeah. So I reckon... he was consulting Krishna. Perhaps.
Of course.
That's my
of course.
Regulation.
Of course.
Then I had a piece of paper. I had written down in English, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, no meeting. Because at that time I didn't know English.
Right.
So they told me you have to tell Prabhupada in English and emphasis to learn English because all Prabhupada's books are in English.
Yes.
They didn't have so many books at that time except English books. So I didn't have the paper. I said, no meat eating, no gambling, and I got stuck. I was looking, what's going on? So I told Prabhupada two English, two in Bengali.
Oh, okay.
Prabhupada was very happy. So I still remember this is what happened. And then he gave me my name. And the name is Prabhav. It's actually not a name. Because Prabhav is something that's describing.
Okay.
It's not a noun.
Okay.
Noun is Ganga, is noun.
Right.
It's the name of a river.
Right.
But Prabhav is the description of something, influence. So I was thinking, how can that be a name? So I thought, maybe he's wrong. So I said, can you say it again? And he said, Prabhupada.
In Bengali, you told him, or in English?
In Bengali.
In Bengali.
I was the parini.
I was the parini. Kina.
Kina. Volun. Sorry. He said three times. Because I couldn't get it. Prabhupada is not a name. I've never heard before.
Right.
Somebody has such a name as Prabhupada.
Right.
So that's how I knew. That's how I got initiated in Vrindavan.
So then you continue studying in Vrindavan Gurukul for how many years?
I joined 73. From 73 to 79, I was in Gurukul in Mayapur.
In Mayapur, okay, yeah. Okay.
79 is transferred to Vrindavan Gurukul.
Okay.
For 5 years each places.
Okay.
So 5 years in Mayapur, 5 years in Vrindavan. And after 5 years in Vrindavan, 83, I was supposed to... I completely forgot Bengali. I literally speak.
Because nobody spoke Bengali. Yeah, I spoke Hindi or English.
Because when I joined, they were all foreigners.
Right.
So Bhavananda, he put me under Bhakti Chaur Maharaj, Naktala, remember?
Yes. In Kolkata. Yes, in Kolkata, we have a Sankirtan house.
Yeah. So I was with him. And Bhakti Chaur Maharaj said, after 1 week, I said, let's just talk in English. It's too intense for him to teach me Bengali. Because he was already too busy.
Yeah.
So I never had a chance to learn Bengali. So I speak now, not that good.
Not so good.
So 10 years in Gurukul, both places.
So what did you learn when you were in the Gurukul?
A lot of things.
Like what?
Mayapur, I didn't learn that much. They said Mayapur is a place for service.
Right.
Seva. So I did a lot of cleaning,
pot, cleaning, floor.
A little bit of service.
Yes.
So when I went to Vrindavan, I really learned a lot of things. We did the Bhakti Shastri.
Okay.
Bhakti Shastri is the first time that came in ISKCON. We're the first batch of Gurukul to actually introduce Bhakti Shastri and Gurukuls. So I learned English, proper English, all my teachers from the US, English, grammar, little bit of Sanskrit, and then some mathematics, mostly English. So I learned mantras and a lot of things, those kind of things.
But apart from that, you learn also practical things.
Practical, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, cooking and everything else.
Cooking I learned here in Australia because they needed a Sunday feast cook. So they threw me in the kitchen. I said, I had no idea. That's how I learned.
Okay. So what other practical things you learned?
Teach, even the level of English I learned, I could teach actually. And services, Bhakti Shastri philosophy. I have that academy that we learn that level to be able to teach others.
Nice.
And later on, I also learned Bhakti Shastri again under Bhakti Atmatata Prabhu. So I learned twice. So I have quite a bit of knowledge on Bhakti Shastri. So practical things, you know, cooking, services, Bhakti Viksha to be able to instruct new devotees, Bhakta program. So a lot of things that are necessary to bring people up in Krishna consciousness.
I feel personally that going to the Gurukul, because I saw both my son that went to the Gurukul in Mayapur also, and it's like going to the army. You know, I was in the army for 1 year because at the time in 70, everybody had to go to the army.
Those days.
So then basically you're thrown there and there's a training camp and walking with boots, learning to clean stuff. And, you know, basically you learn a lot of things, even though you think you waste your time, but actually it's practical and discipline. You learn discipline.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, because everybody gets 5 o'clock, wake up. Everybody takes bath, and you can organize the bed, organize the mirror, shine your shoes, put new clothes, you know. So this is something, discipline.
That's one thing I want to tell you. The day I joined, it was very tough in the 70s.
Yeah.
70s are very tough. Like, we had to get up for Mangal Arati, no sleeping whatsoever. So I was always tired at the time.
Of course.
I woke up so early. So one time... this is a story I'm telling regarding Prabhupada.
Yes.
So there was 5 boys from America. That was 1975. They stayed in Mayapur Gurukul.
Yes.
One of the boys' name is Dwarkadish.
Dwarkadish is the one who Prabhupada teach personally to write Sanskrit, right?
His schoolmate.
There's a photograph.
Yeah. So we asked Dwarkadish if he could, go see Prabhupada or some problem we have in school.
Right.
Because they're waking us too early and not...
They not said, enough sleep.
The first English word I learned is no Mangalarti, no Pusharam.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so we always tired. Mm-hmm. We want to sleep in so we can, you know. So we slept in. There's a place called Radha Madhava Garden in Mayapur.
Yeah.
So we all went to sleep there. Woke up at 8 o'clock. So obviously we couldn't have Pusharam. So Dharukadish and I, we went to see Prabhupada.
In the Lotus building.
Yeah.
And
Prabhupada
floor.
Said, oh, no, Pusharam. So he called Pankajani Janrivash and he arranged Pusharam for us.
Ma Prasadam.
Yeah.
Nice.
Muri, puff rice.
Yes.
Halava, puri, sabji.
Nice. Morning offering.
And this is what Prabhupada eats for breakfast.
Nice.
We had that. So this we never told this to these teachers.
Of course not.
So there was a lot of discipline, but we had to somehow find a way to take care of ourselves.
Of course, of course. So it was interesting life for you at the time?
Yeah, because my thing was that I came from a very humble background, village life.
Yes.
Also very nice. So I thought, now I'm going to live in a building, you know, made out of bricks, and we're white people. We're going to have sandwiches and Western food, like this. But I was wrong.
Prashad was rice, dal, sabji,
khichdi. Very simple.
Very simple.
They would make plates according to the number of devotees. They'd put all the prasharam, everything on it. They go, prasharam, and would come and get our plate. And there was no choice. We just had to eat what they have on the plate.
Yeah.
And that's it. No seconds. So those days were very tough. But what I want to say is we had Srila Prabhupada to inspire us.
Yes.
So life was austere because when you saw Prabhupada, every year he came to Mayapur, that was the inspiration for all of us for the whole year.
Absolutely.
So we didn't care what condition we were living, circumstances, austerity, we didn't care. Prabhupada made everything for us. We felt ecstatic.
Just by seeing him
and be with him. And we used to look forward for Prabhupada's arrival every year.
Of course.
Whatever happened, we put aside, we think Prabhupada's coming.
Wow. Yeah. Big festival.
Yeah. So that's the main thing in the whole movement, actually, those days. It was quite tough. But Prabhupada was always in the background to inspire the whole movement.
Yes. Yeah. So what are the toughest time you went through when you were a kid? Let me ask you this.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I didn't like the Gurukul so much. you know how it is.
Yeah.
And particularly Mayapur, we had to do a lot of work. And they said you had to clean all the toilet in the long building when it first built, 76.
Yeah.
All the toilet in Lotus building, beginning. Sweep the road. There's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So academic was very little.
Yes.
But I didn't mind. But the thing was, there was a lot of work. I always wanted good prasadam. There was not enough. And if you want a halava, puri, sabji, we had to wait for Janmashtami.
Yeah.
Prabhupada Vyas Puja. So those are the very tough time. My favorite thing is prasadam.
Of course.
Like everybody else.
Yes.
And when you're a kid, we all want good food.
Of course.
And we never got enough. But like I said, you know, we
survived.
Cherish Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, of course.
But somehow, we always want prasadam.
But then we met again in Calcutta. I remember I was a temple commander and you came and we drew. We used to go and we started the Food for Life. You remember? Mm-hmm. Tell us some story about that.
83,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you were on top of the jeep with a microphone speaking Bengali with an amplifier. Yeah. And me and Drua, we prepare everything. The khichdi, put these big drums. We call it noka, a boat of khichdi. And we go in front of the GPO, which is General Post Office, which was built by the British. Yeah. A very beautiful building. And people used to come, remove their shoes and take a donut or a small leaf. With Prashana, very respectful. And you were preaching on top. I don't know what you're saying. I didn't know Bengali, but I remember you were very powerful and people used to come
that.
And listen. So tell us what you remember
actually,
at that time.
That one year I stayed in Calcutta, 83. It was a very interesting year because it's quite austere. Calcutta's overall, the city, it's very, not very, very low pollution.
Yeah, pollution. Yeah.
So I remember me and Ganga, like you were interviewing me, we used to go on a scooter.
Yeah,
we
were driving, on the Vespa.
And we would do life member.
Yes.
And when in our spare time. And then afternoon, we would do Food for Life.
For Life, yes.
So that year was very intense, but I liked it because I was fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Get up early, do all our rounds, do Food for Life, go make life members. So very intense, but I liked it because you and Dhruva, you two are big guys from Italy, and I was a small guy. But I really liked your association because you were like two main person to inspire the whole temple. And that 1 year I was with you, you were always like made me a good friend with you.
Of course.
And we used to do programs sometimes, sometimes life members' house.
Yes.
So that Pusharam distribution was amazing because we would put all this khichdi in a loka, in these containers, and distribute in the, they had this Indian army jeep.
Yes.
You converted into
yes.
Pusharam van.
It was a Nissan six-cylinder petrol engine from the Second World War, which we purchased from some place, you know.
You used to drive there?
And, yeah.
And then, such amazing because you were distributing it. They had a little hole there and you from inside.
Yes.
And I was on the roof with a speaker and telling people the glories of Pusharam and the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra. And people liked it. I was just saying the same thing, more or less.
Yeah.
I didn't know much. But my innocency that inspired me also. And Ganga, you were like, you know, we both were kind of innocent those days.
Yeah.
But we cherished consciousness because the service we are doing, it was really, and then we come back. We'd take bath in the Ganga, clean the
Ganga,
van.
We jump from the
van, and then we come for Sunday Arati.
Yeah,
rocking.
I still remember the kirtan we did with Satvik and all the other devotees. I was thinking one time that maybe Radha Govinda will just come and dance with us and jump out of the altar.
Maybe he was.
Our kirtan was such a far out kirtan. It was sweating like anything, and there was Sudarshan and all.
Banki.
Radhanath, Banki Bira, Banki Roy, and many other devotees.
There's one guy named Jagadish.
Jagadish,
He's now a Maharaj.
What's his name?
In Mayapur.
I forgot. Oh, Bhati Purushottam Maharaj.
Yeah, he was Jagadish.
He was Jagadish at the time. He was in charge of the Sankirtan.
Yeah, he used to bring the voice.
Yeah.
And one thing I remember, we would all jump in one of the Sankirtan van.
Yes.
Go for Harinam.
Oh,
Churangi.
Yes, Churangi.
And very hot day.
Yeah.
We jump in and do big kirtan
on the road.
Thousands of people, packed with people. And then we come back so hot, we would sleep under the fan, lie down.
Yeah. Complete sweating.
Yeah. It was so intense, but we loved
very
it.
Very intense, but was very, because our mood was always to serve and to please Prabhupada and please Krishna.
So.
And then, I don't know if you were there for the book fair. We did a book fair also, and we distributed a lot of books. Adridana arranged for the book fair at the stall, and there was a big book fair festival.
And also, you and Dhruva, you were painting the Rath cart.
Yes.
I used to go there and hang around there.
Fixing the chariot.
Near the Rainy Park.
Yes.
There was this one area.
Yeah.
Big cart.
Yeah.
You were painting, and the Rath cart day, you were driving the cart.
Yes.
Huge cart.
Yeah.
You would start somewhere and then finish somewhere. Thousands of people.
Millions.
You would go in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And you were driving it, and I don't know how you did it. It's a huge cart. And you designed it, and maybe your previous experience.
Yeah, I was a mechanic, but I love to drive. I used to drive cars and bikes. So
I really like being with you because you have so many contacts. The Indian people liked you a lot because you were a big guy and Italian and people really liked you. So, and I was with you and I remember some life member gave you a car.
Oh, yeah. 1946 car, Austin Martin. Yeah. And there was an upcoming rally in Kolkata from vintage car. So I went to this life member, Mr. Agarwal, I think.
You have any photos of that? Or?
I have a photo. Actually, it's inside the book of Indian tourists, something. You know, they published the book and with the photograph is there. And then we fixed this car. It was a junk, you know, basically. We fixed the engine. We fixed everything. We make it work. And then we repaint and we wrote on the logo.
Doesn't go too fast.
Be happy. No, it was not going maybe 60 kilometers speed, but it was old, but nice. And then we did the rally and people took photographs of this.
I see.
Dressed as a devotee. We want to participate in this, you know.
Yeah, because you done up the car, really nicely.
Yeah.
Done it up. And then me and you, we were going in that car.
Yeah.
And it was very smooth.
Yeah.
It's all open.
Yeah.
There was no roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it because we are devotees. We kind of advertised the ISKCON.
Of course.
In that car.
Of course.
I really enjoyed that. I don't know what happened to that car.
I don't know because I took it to Mayapur and then I
really?
Drove. Yeah.
You drove there?
I drove it there. Yeah. I mean,
it's a long
way. Time. Yeah. But we drove it there. And then I remember one time we welcomed Jabhataka Maharaj when it was his Vyasa Puja. We make him sit from the main gate. We took it with this car. And all the people throw the flowers.
Yeah. We did a lot of things together.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. We had a lot of fun, you know. We had a lot of good memory and a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I see you're still remaining enthusiastic till today. And you lead a nice kirtan all the time. You go out and do harinam. You're cooking for the deity. You are preaching. And people love you. You are so much in Australia. How long have you been in Australia now?
Well, actually, I came here in 1984.
Oh, okay.
From Calcutta, remember?
Yeah.
When I got my visa, it came from Delhi.
Yes.
So, Adi Dharan, Calcutta Tamil president, he locked away my passport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't
know. He didn't want to let you go.
Yeah. So, I only found out 6 months later. Yeah, I had visa.
Oh.
Like more than 1 year visa. Like, so, Narasher. He said, where is your passport? He said, I don't know. I gave it to Adidharan. And he said, yeah, I locked it up. Yeah, I had the visa. I had to come here the next day.
Wow.
He was saying, what is this? And so it was 22nd of February 1984.
Oh, nice.
I came to Sydney.
Nice.
And then I was very depressed because I didn't like Australia.
Why?
Because
there's not
it was not what I expected, like India.
What? Oh, India.
I thought this is going to be, it was too many Matajis in the temple on Brahmachari.
Right.
That's one thing. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I thought 50% was a young lady, same age as me. And before I left, Bhakti Choraswami and what's his name, his friend?
Sarvabhavana.
Yeah, Sarvabhavana. So they sat me down with them in the Rainy Park PBT building. They told me 1 hour.
In Bengali?
Yeah, English.
In English. No, in English.
I didn't speak much. Yeah, they're throwing in some few Bengali words. They told me, be careful. You have to remain Brahmachari. Australia not the same as Calcutta. You know, you see, you have to be Krishna conscious. Like they instructed
me. Preach you.
So what they said to me is it was true.
It's true.
So
yeah.
I came to temple, but I was very impressed. One thing I was impressed by, temple in Sydney, ISKCON temple, so clean.
Nice.
Glass. Right in the, when you open the glass door.
Yeah.
It's all like marble floor. And a glass handle, you can see, so paka clean, right on the roadside. And so beautiful, and everything is just so neat and clean. And then they have a small takeaway front restaurant. I was like so impressed. And I said, I want to eat this. Because you know, I never had that kind of pisharam.
Yeah.
So I had carrot cake.
Wow.
Never had in my life. And so I was very impressed. But it was not the same as India. And less people.
There is less
everywhere
people,
clean. I said, where is all the people?
Yeah.
They said, oh, everyone drives car here. No people here.
Nobody walk on the road.
Nobody in the street.
No.
I said, where's the people? In India, we're on the street.
Everybody.
Playing. Yeah, everyone was like, so I was thinking, this is not the same.
Yeah.
And I thought Australia is going to be like India. So I thought everybody is devotee here.
Right.
Because all the Western people I saw in India,
they were in the world.
Is devotees.
Yes.
So I never had an idea that I thought that everybody is devotee. So I came here, shaved head, with Danga with me. So when I arrived at the Sydney airport, they said, show me, you know, although they were like not very friendly.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, is that the wrong impression? These people, I thought, they're devotees or they're not. So I asked them, I want to go back to India after 3 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, they said, no, no, you are staying here. So so they made me stay in the temple, chant japa, go on Harinam every day, maybe bhakta program. So they're very tricky. So that once you start liking it, then we'll send you a sankirtan and selling stuff. So after 6 months, I started like here gradually. The devotees are very nice. And so that's why I remained here for a long time. Right. Then, of course, later on, I went to Europe and China. I was in China for...
You traveled with Samaraj?
Indudum
Maharaj. Indudum Maharaj, yeah.
3 years in Poland, Russia.
Poland. Big festival there.
Yeah. It's Woodstock.
Woodstock festival, yeah.
So a lot of things happened from that time and now.
Right. Yeah. China also was good.
China was... Actually, what happened... I have some issue here in Australia in 1988. So I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because I always knew him from childhood. People was very scared of him. I was never scared because I knew him from childhood.
Yeah.
And he was very nice to me. So I thought, let me ask him, consult him. So he was in the UK. He was studying. And so I called him. So his servant said, you call him at 4 o'clock at local time. And you can talk to him.
Sure.
And so I called him at 4 o'clock. So I said, Maharaj, I'm tired of Australia. I want to go to America. Can you give permission to go to Dallas? That's where he's GVC and guru.
There.
He said, no way. You go to Hong Kong because we need the Ritvik issue. So they needed help from me. I said, no, Maharaj, not Hong Kong. I've got America. He said, no, no. So he preached to me to go to Hong Kong. So that was 1999. So I went to Hong Kong, stayed there for 5 years. And then he came there the last time I saw him, something 1990 something, 94 maybe. Oh, no, 2005, sorry. And before he passed away.
Yeah.
So he says, I can go to China also. So after 5 years, I got tired of Hong Kong. It's a very intense place.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people, people living in small areas.
And small countries.
And so I consulted an astrologer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And what he told you?
So I asked him, what do you think? Because I was taking very seriously Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted me to stay in Hong Kong. But I got tired. I want to go to somewhere else. He said, go to China. China would be good for you.
Big place.
Yeah, big place. And you have fame in your hand. So he said, teach yoga there.
Oh, go. The astrologer told you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you go and teach yoga, you'll become famous, you'll make money, everything will come. You just leave this place. This place is not feng shui for you.
It's feng
wrong,
shui.
Wrong place.
Yeah.
You know, that's Kiljyoti, what do you call that? The area is not suitable for you.
Right.
For livelihood and even spiritually. So I said, that's a good idea. So I didn't tell anyone, he told me that. Because the temple were very angry with him.
Yeah, of course.
So I went to China, and it was very tough for me. So I was teaching English. Wow. I had a certificate from here, English.
Right.
TESOL. So I teach English for 5 months. I got tired of it because you have to prepare so much. It's like writing a book, like a manumaraj. All the time writing and studying and making sure, preparing. But that's not me. I can't do that. So he told me about yoga. So I went to Rishikesh. Yeah, serious. I was serious. So I learned yoga, the concept. I already knew the asana.
You did like 200 hours.
Yeah, course. I did for
400 hours.
I did for 6 months nearly.
Wow.
Yoga.
And they give you a certificate.
Yeah.
So you are a master in yoga.
Yeah, I can teach yoga here anywhere in the world.
Right.
So I came back. You can imagine I had 30 classes a week.
That's a lot.
5 a day.
That's a lot. That's 5 hours.
Yeah.
Class in between time.
So I finish, I run for the
start
next one.
Start another one. Well, you have classes, private classes or...
This is what I'm going to get to.
Okay.
So at first I was teaching clubs, like a yoga center.
Already they do yoga. Yeah, they're teaching.
They have like they have a bodybuilding
hall,
no bodybuilding machine, as well as yoga center.
Right, that kind of place. Yes, yes, yes.
So I had all this bodybuilding people. I had friends with
facility.
Facility I could use. So they have a yoga center as well for people who want to do yoga. It's all Chinese, China. That place is called Guangzhou.
Guangzhou.
2 hours from Hong Kong.
Yeah, famous place.
Yeah, famous place. And then, because I spoke English, so they went to teach American school, international American school in Guangzhou. So I was teaching all the teachers at the end of the day when they finished the schooling.
Because they don't know much.
Yeah, they want to, they get the stress.
To speak.
So then there was one guy, one American guy, he had knee issue. So he saw many people, they couldn't help him. I said, you just sit, you don't have to do anything, just try. Maybe something may help him, they'll get better. Never know.
Yeah.
So he sat down every day. One day it clicked and he felt good.
Become all right.
And he said, wow, I feel good. And so he made me famous.
Oh.
He put in the, and all the thing. So pretty soon, like I had so many Westerners who wanted to do class, private class. So I charged them $50 an hour, US dollars.
That's
and they don't mind. They have the money because they're all expatriate.
They're working for big companies.
Yeah, CEO. So I dropped all those small classes in the Chinese. So I had so much classes.
So many clients.
Less class, but more money. So I was making more money than a bank manager in China.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like something like 4,000 US a day, a month.
That's a lot.
And 20,000 local money. Anyway, so I made one friend. He's from Dutch, Holland. His wife's American. That guy, he's... mother-in-law, she is the manager of all Asia P&G.
What is P&G?
P&G is Procter & Gamble.
Oh, it's a company. Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
It's a big famous
big company. They produce the shampoo, so many things.
Yeah.
All the different things you buy in the, all over the world.
Yeah.
And so she came to visit my son-in-law. And so I made friends with her. She said, oh, I like yoga. Yeah. So then I was teaching yoga to her and her son-in-law and her daughter. So I had five classes a week. So anyway, so she, her husband came, big American guy. They own a property in Michigan. So he said, no, I'm not into yoga. I do jogging, bicycling. I'm not into that yoga kind of thing. So I said, come on, just give it a try, you know. So he sat down and did yoga a little bit. Well, his son-in-law and me. And he said, oh, I like it. So he started to do yoga with me. And then his wife was doing, he was doing his daughter and his son-in-law. So all this
whole family.
Yeah. Then I left China to come back here. And one day he called me. He said, hey, Peter. And I was calling my Peter.
Yeah.
And so he said, I got a yoga center in my place in Michigan. He owned a big property and a river. He said, a yoga center on the roof of my house. You can come and Peter, come and you can come and teach here. I said, no, I'm happy here now.
Yeah.
So, so a lot of things happened in China. So, Krishna consciousness is always in the back
of
my mind because of my training.
Of course.
But materially also, Krishna will give you if you have the desire to serve him.
Always.
Always you have to remember, material things is material. The spiritual thing, because of that, material thing come. Some people have this idea. Oh, how am I going to support my family if I become a Hare Krishna?
Yeah, no.
That is nonsense. Because look at my case.
Yeah.
Everything came.
I think some people, they think, oh, let me become rich and then I'll serve Krishna. You know? But then on the process, they get lost.
Exactly.
And they never become Krishna conscious. Yeah. So Krishna consciousness should be the foundation of our life. And then whatever we need, Krishna will give. The faith is there. And we can see practically, we didn't have anything.
And actually, I feel, I joined much earlier than you, but I feel you have a similar situation as me.
Yeah.
Because you came from Italy looking for God.
Yeah.
And Krishna brought you.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you're traveling with Manu Maharaj And, you know,
you get everything.
You realize Krishna consciousness.
Yes, of course.
You interview me. So we are all in the path of Krishna consciousness.
Absolutely.
No matter where you came from.
Absolutely.
But it's bringing us to this is all the mercy of Prabhupada.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
Always. We can never forget, because we can never repay the debt
yeah.
we have with Srila Prabhupada, because he's the one who came and sent by his spiritual master to preach to a foreign soul, to a foreign country, to all fallen conditioned soul. And as Maharaj said today, Krishna consciousness is the greatest gift.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a valuable diamond. So who has the money to buy the diamond? But Lord Chaitanya is giving free. Okay, take as many diamonds as you want.
And another thing I want to say.
Sure.
And this issue of, financial issue.
Yeah.
But actually, Krishna provides.
Always.
You know, and I came from Shantipur. We began our story. It's a very simple village.
Yeah.
And I've been all over the world.
Yeah.
And here I'm in Melbourne, Australia. And Ganga, you're my friend. And you're coming all over the world, you know.
Traveling everywhere. Never,
money is not an issue.
No.
Our main thing, how we can become Krishna conscious.
That's
remember right. Krishna. Serve Krishna. And Krishna will provide.
You know, I think the basic difference also between the pure devotee and ordinary devotee is that ordinary devotee, they don't have so much faith and they think, oh, what about this, what about that? But I'm not saying I'm pure devotee, but I'm saying that Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees, you know, and a Bhagavatam. And, you know, Krishna gave him everything. So, you know, if we stick to the process of devotional service, Krishna is maintaining millions of universes, millions of elephant and crocodile.
They don't
work. They don't do anything. But the Krishna is maintaining everybody. So why will Krishna not maintain us who are chanting the holy name, who are trying to serve the Lord in some way, try to inspire people to become Krishna conscious? So that much faith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's firmly established in my heart. And I don't care if I sleep under the tree or I sleep in a golden palace. Sometimes we sleep in an ashram. Sometimes we sleep in a big building. It doesn't really matter, because when you sleep, you don't know where you are.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing exactly, that I know our upbringing in Krishna consciousness, that when he first joined, I was in Gurukul, you were not in Gurukul, but our whole movement like a Gurukul.
Yeah.
The training we got.
Yeah.
So that training we got initially in the beginning, now we realize we have the
so
facility,
good.
But so what?
So good, so what?
Because the training we had, we can persevere.
Always.
Any type of austerity may come in
nothing.
Front of us.
Nothing.
Because we know the forefront of us is spiritual life.
Yeah, we can do it.
And we had that bringing.
Yeah, no problem.
And we and me, like, you know, we can live in a nice place, but who cares?
So tell us some pastime on Lord Chaitanya that you really enjoy.
Lord Chaitanya?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, like I said, I was born...
Because today is Gaur Purnima, so we must say something.
I was born in Bengal, as I said. And I grew up, you know, in the people in the West, you know, the kids, they grow up with toys, very expensive toys.
Yes, yes.
And we didn't know what is expensive toys are. So my parents bought me Gaur Nithai.
Did your Gornithai?
Wooden Gornithai.
Oh, wooden?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
If Gornithai, they sell
it
for a matala.
Yeah, small.
Wooden Gornithai, the kids for kids.
Yeah.
So I had wooden Gornithai, and we used to cook people eat from coconut shell. That's the pot.
Yeah.
We cook sand, we said, this is sweet rice. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one time I remember I put gamsha on, so I was saying I'm Radharani. I dressed up with a gamsha.
Get the girl,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we had that culture, spiritual culture. We were brought up in a spiritual life. In Bengal, Gornitha is very popular.
Of course.
And we in our village, Shantipur, there was two boys. Their name was Gornithai. They're twins.
Oh, Gornithai.
There's no one here like Gornithai. Yeah. But we knew Gornithai is they're Krishna Balaram.
Yes.
They're eternal brothers.
Yes.
So there's one story of Lord Nithananda, actually.
Okay.
500 years ago.
Okay.
This happened. But this story actually took place 5,000 years ago. So Lord Nityananda and this cowherd boy, they were having a race around Govardhan Hill. Did you hear the story?
No, I don't know.
So they were hide and seek. When they are kids, they do hide and seek game. So this boy was hiding in the cave of Govardhan Hill. This happened 500 years ago. And he
You mean Krishna Balaram?
Krishna Balaram. The cowherd boy and Nityananda was Balaram.
Yeah.
500 years ago. Yeah, yeah. I mean, 5,000 years ago.
5,000 years ago, they were Krishna Balaram.
Yeah. So, 5,000 years ago, Balaram was having a hide and seek game with his, one of the cowherd boy.
Right.
So, Lord Balaram was running and he had to find him. So that he never came back. Balaram never came back. So the boy was
searching.
Yeah, searching. And so then 500 years ago, Lord Nityananda came. And Lord Nityananda saw him. He said, "Oh, I am Subal." He said, "Well, you know, you're Subal's really tall." Because it's Satya Yuga.
Yeah.
Tetra Yuga and beginning of this Yuga.
Kali Yuga.
And so, Lord Nityananda said, I am Balaram. I am from that time. And now I came as Nityananda. And he also said, Subal is very tall. So he says, I'm Balaram. He said, "You're not Balaram because Balaram is very tall."
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew this Subal is waiting for him.
Yeah.
He said, "Finally he came."
Yeah.
Then he says, "But I'm very, Lord Nityananda said to him, because Lord Nityananda says, but he said, Lord Balaram is very tall.
Yeah.
And, but you are not Balaram. You're so short.
Yeah.
Because 500 years ago is Nityananda.
Yeah.
But he says, I'm Subal, I'm very tall. So he said, "I want to test you if you're actually Balaram." So we have a race around Govardhan Hill. So then Lord Balaram as Nityananda, 500 years ago, they had a race. Obviously Lord Nityananda won.
Yes.
And Subal was very tall. And he said, "Okay, I accept you as Balaram." But I said, "I have a problem because I'm very tall. So what do I do?" So Nityananda said, "No problem. I'll put my hand and short, I'll push you down."
Make you down.
So this is one story. And then from that 500 years ago, Lord Nityananda. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's so many stories there also. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they're absolute. And of course, Jagai Madhai Maharaj is telling the story. This is my favorite story, actually. How when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Jagai Madhai,
yes,
momentarily
it became
dark. Lord Chaitanya is golden,
yeah,
because he's observing the sin. They're so sinful that even golden form of Lord Chaitanya momentarily turned dark.
Yeah.
So he is observing. And so this always reminds in my mind that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind. We were talking about it this morning. Mercy.
Yeah, yeah, mercy.
And
Audarya.
And Jayapataka Maharaj, he told one story how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had the power to convert the animals into Jarikanda forest.
Make them dance.
And exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, actually Srila Prabhupada did. Because these people in New York, they're worse than animals.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
And Prabhupada made them devotees.
Wow, amazing.
So, this, I'm not trying to say...
Transformation.
I'm not saying...
The power of transforming people.
Yeah, I'm not saying Prabhupada is like Krishna, but he has the shakti.
Yeah, the power.
Yeah.
The power he to did. Transform
So this is my favorite story, Jarikanda Forest. Lord Chaitanya, he had... Jayapataka Maharaj was saying once that he used to look at the people and with his eyes, he'd look and go through the people and... All down the road, he turned them into Vaishnav.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, by his desire.
And this Prabhupada did that.
Prabhupada also did that.
So this is my favorite, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so merciful.
Beautiful. But tell me your impression when the first time you saw Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, Prabhupada? Actually, a lot of things. But this one story I always told the devotees, that that's one thing those days, that Prabhupada, when he used to come, everyone would be preparing for his arrival.
Yes. Everything paint should be clean, temple, paint the temple.
Yeah, cut the grass, make a new lawn, and garden. There's a lot of activity. We're super busy.
Of course.
6 months before his arrival.
Of course.
So we're almost like counting his days.
Yes.
Oh, Prabhupada's coming, Prabhupada's coming. It was so intense. And so, and even, I mean, I came from our background in India. We see many sadhus.
Yes.
So that, well, I mean, Prabhupada, so what? I had that kind of thing.
Another sadhu.
But, yeah, another sadhu. But all the Westerners are like, Prabhupada's coming. He's not the same.
Tardy,
he's different. So I said, okay. So then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they had this thing. I think it was 76 or 75, when they first opened the gate.
Mm.
You know, there's a main gate?
Yeah.
There's a picture of it. I have it. And so they had a kirtan group for his arrival, for his reception. So if you go down the gate, go towards Yogapit, the road will turn.
Yeah, there's a small turn.
Right, there's a small bridge. Next to that, there's a big banyan tree, used to be,
not very off, yeah.
That fell from the storm.
Storm, yeah.
So they asked me to go down there with a red flag. So when you see Prabhupada coming, wave the flag so we can get ready instantly.
Yeah.
So then I went there. So I told the story to the devotees here. So even hours went by. And there was nobody coming. And that time was very rural.
Yeah, there's no car.
No car,
bus,
only bula carts and rickshaws.
Yeah,
so I thought, I woke up so early, I was tired. You can get a really good sleep under a banyan tree.
Of course.
Cooling
and
on a hot day. So I thought I'd have a nap. So I was having just about to snooze. And I heard this, "Hey, Haribol, wake up!" And there was somebody poking with a danda. That was Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
Ooh.
"Wake up!" So Prabhupada, they had three cars. And the middle car was Prabhupada. And they had a decorated Prabhupada car with a flower, garland, and all the, like when people get married.
Yeah.
They decorate the car with flower.
Yeah.
And in front
so
of Prabhupada.
You with the flag?
Yeah. So I was waving the flag. Prabhupada's here. So I'm running behind. You know, they can't drive too fast.
No, yeah.
So I could practically run with the car.
Because the road was very small.
And not only that, it can't drive too fast.
Yeah.
So I could run with it. And they all got ready and I got there.
There's a kirtan.
And so Prabhupada got out of the car. I was looking at like, wow. And this is, you know. And he was surrounded by all the Western devotees.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually looking so much at Prabhupada. I was looking at the Westerners. You know how it is?
Yes.
Like when you go to village.
Yeah.
They have extra thinking of you because you have my skin a little bit.
Yeah.
So they, well, how can this Westerner? So I was looking at foreigners, big guys. And when you're small, everything looks big.
Bigger.
And they had danda. And I was thinking, wow. So I had a lot of affection for Western devotees. And so that's the first time I saw Prabhupada. And I was like, wow, he's amazing. And people were so much love for him that I can't even begin to explain to you.
You could feel it.
I feel it.
Was thick.
That love for Prabhupada is, the people are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, joy of Prabhupada, they're dancing. People are like, you know, how we have
ecstasy.
We have the Guru Puja today.
Yeah.
It's not like when Prabhupada was there.
Yeah,
actually, Prabhupada's on the throne.
Of course.
Even in the Murti.
Yes.
So imagine Prabhupada actually sitting there. So we would put flower on him. So he had his dhoti, actually, like this. So we weren't putting flower on his feet.
Yeah.
He was collecting on his chadar.
Yeah.
And a big pile of flour. Sometimes the devotees give him vases. Yeah. So I was thinking, what is he going to do with it? So everyone's roaring, "Jaya, bro!" You never see anyone touching the floor. They're all up in the air.
Dancing,
yeah,
jumping,
they were crazy.
Jumping.
And Prabhupada, when kirtan got roaring, he threw that thing, that vase.
The flower, the face, he threw it.
Yeah. And you don't find any of the flower that landed on the ground.
It could
be
right
in the air.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get it. So I had a lot of, I thought this is not ordinary. Like the devotees told me, like I saw so many Indian sadhus. He was very unique. And I thought, like, very, very good feeling of being him. And I was crazy for him too, like everybody else. So when Prabhupada would finish the class, Bhagavatam class, they say, "You sing, Jaya Prabhupada." That's all. Till he gets to his room.
Yes.
Up the steps, you know that?
In yes, building. Going up in Lotus
Building. Jaya. I was really crazy. Like you see now, it's nothing. So I was very young. And then he said, "Stop, stop, he's already reached his room." So, and then when you come down, I was seeing. They always liked me because I was like, pagal, totally mad. So, I always, nice. The devotees told me, be enthusiastic. That's just the criteria to attract Krishna. So I literally had that.
So what is the secret to remain enthusiastic? That is secret. A very secret word. What pills you're taking? What you're not taking any drugs and all that. But how you remain so enthusiastic throughout the year, throughout your life?
I think because I aspire, like I said before, what we learn in your childhood, that sticks in us. That's always remains in us. So even at my age, I'm now 57. I was just a few days ago, I had birthday, big birthday party here.
Nice.
Like a Vyas Puja, I don't know. Anyway, so enthusiasm is, of course, Maharaj was saying this morning, you know, by hearing, by associating, and by increasing in faith. But somehow, I don't know what it is. It could be something from past life. It
must be.
It triggers me to be just fired up. So one time, actually, I actually died in the kirtan, in Mayapur.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean died?
Like, I don't know.
Your
I couldn't
heart
breathe.
Stopped.
And heart stopped. I was like, I was not here. I was up here. You know, like they have this past life.
Out of body experience.
You heard that?
Yeah.
So I actually had that. So in Mayapur, you have to be fired up to do Sandhya Arati in the 80s. So I went there. I said, I'm leading today Sandhya Arati. So, and at the end of Sandhya Arati, at the end of Nishinga Arati, they go around the temple.
Yes.
So you come behind Radha Madhava. There's an area. It's very echo.
Yeah.
Very echo.
Big sound.
I was really full on. And all the echo was going in me and I couldn't hear myself. And I fell unconscious. But this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna is a very long, right? When he finished by the time.
Yeah.
So I actually passed away. And nobody paid attention to me because they were dancing. They thought this guy is just like that.
Yes.
I was like this. So I was up here.
You can see yourself and everybody.
Yeah. I saw everyone. At the end of the mantra, I came back.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what happened. Because when it's long.
Yeah.
Because Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna is too fast.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So by the time you finish, it's almost like a 30 seconds or more.
Yeah.
So I came back. I kept going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then, so the enthusiasm comes even more when you see other people enthusiastic.
Of course.
Of course, that you have to attend a program. You have to be with the association of devotees. You see others, how they're conducting Krishna consciousness. You learn from them. And in my case, of course, I had the association of Prabhupada. I had that enthusiasm throughout my life. So everything I do that. I don't know, cooking, yoga,
you put
whatever.
Your heart and you put your love, whatever you're doing. Yeah. So that's a secret. That's a secret.
The love. And I don't know if I love or not, but I just like, I feel good when I do enthusiastically.
Yeah.
I just feel good myself.
Of course.
You sang in the kirtan. It's not like ego or anything. I just feel good.
It's natural.
Yeah, natural, yeah.
Wonderful.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wonderful talking to you. We are coming to the end of our podcast. So give a message to all the people who are listening to this podcast today, Prabhu.
Yeah.
What is a message?
The thing is, keep searching for Krishna consciousness. Like I said, keep the enthusiasm, keep the momentum, spiritual momentum, and the spirit of Krishna consciousness, and be in the association of devotees. Today's Gaur Purnima, and we can learn from God Himself.
Of course.
You know, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hands in the air, sing and dance, surrender to Krishna. God Himself. Why is it so necessary for Krishna to advertise Himself? But He's not advertising. He's showing this is the way to get the love of God. Surrender to Krishna, hands in the air. So my message is, keep that spirit, no matter what age, that No matter which country, whatever. Krishna will inspire from within when you show that, express that enthusiasm from the heart. Krishna will inspire us. But we have to enthuse each other. But that enthusiasm comes, my message is that associate devotees. Sadhu Sangha.
Means you can achieve all perfection just by being in a moment of association.
And sometimes I think, well, how can it be? But you have to give it a try.
It is.
If you're away from temple, how are you going to get it? Yeah. You come here first.
Come in the see, temple, and associate with the devotee, do service, try to do some service for Krishna.
Also, when you come to the temple, come in that attitude. Just like when you go to the temple room, you leave your shoes outside, right?
Yes.
So you leave your anartha, your whatever in your head, ego, these that, leave it out. This is for Krishna. I'm coming to serve Krishna. I'm yours.
Krishna.
So when you come with the attitude, that you'll feel enthused.
Of course.
Automatically. But yeah, it's all in the mind sometimes. It's not a mind game. We have to give up that this attachment to material things we attach to. That's blockage.
So our attitude is very important.
Yeah, yeah. Spiritual attitude. Yeah. We have to develop spiritual Krishna conscious attitude.
Wonderful.
There's a lot of things I can say, but you know, this is how I enthuse myself. It's not like I'm so good.
No.
I enthuse myself by talking to you and doing this broadcast.
Yes.
And devotees can hear all over the world. So open the thing and listen to it.
Sure.
What we have to say, to message.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. It's been a good pleasure to have you with us today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll continue to do podcasts next time I see you again. All right.
Shri Prabhupada
Ki Jai. Gaur Purnima Festival in Melbourne Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.